Now, Julian Assange can be extradited to the US, the High Court has ruled, overturning a judgment earlier this year. The decision is a serious blow to the WikiLeaks co-founder's efforts to prevent his extradition to face espionage charges in America. His fiancée has indicated they will be appealing. So let's speak to Nick Vamos, who's former head of extradition at the CPS, who's now a partner at Peters & Peters law firm, and he's on the line now. Good afternoon, Nick.
Good afternoon, Cathy.
How big a blow to Julian Assange is this?
I think it's a very significant blow. This is the point on which he succeeded in the magistrates' court, and that's now been reversed, and he lost on every other argument. And really, the US government has answered all of the objections, because the magistrates' court said that he was at high risk of committing suicide because of the conditions in which he would be detained, specifically that he would probably be kept at the Supermax prison in Colorado and subjected to special administrative measures, kept in self-isolation and so forth. So the US assurances said, well, neither of those things will happen, we promise. And also he could serve the majority of his sentence back in Australia if convicted. Mm. And the judges accepted those assurances and said that they met all the objections of the lower court. So he's really got nowhere else to go on that point now.
And so he or his fiancée have made it clear that they intend to appeal. What is that? What are the implications of that in terms of the timing of all of this?
Well, they actually have two different kinds of appeal left. So they will appeal this decision, and they've announced that. That would have to go to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court only hear appeals on points of law of general public importance. And I just don't think there is one in this judgment. It's a factual judgment based on his physical and mental health and the conditions of detention and the assurances that the US provided. So I don't think that appeal is actually going to go anywhere, although I understand why they're making it. But what he still has open to him, although it gets rather technical, is a chance to cross appeal on all the points that he lost the first time around, where he argued that the case against him was politically motivated. It was an infringement of freedom of speech, an impingement on journalistic protections and so forth. So he can try and launch a cross appeal, which would go back to the High Court on those points.
So what are the chances of success on that?
Well, it does get a bit technical. There is an argument to say he's not allowed to appeal. But assuming that he does get an appeal launched on those points, well, he lost resoundingly on them the first time. He does have some new evidence, which he tried to bring in, such as arguing that the CIA tried to have him assassinated, that his room in the Ecuadorian embassy was being bugged, and sort of other examples of US foul play. So he'll try and deploy those. But of course, immediately runs into the problem that the UK courts will find it very difficult to accept that the US legal system is incapable of giving him a fair trial. It's a question of mutual trust and respect between two friendly countries. It's not a political decision. It's just a fact that we recognise the US as having fundamentally an independent and fair justice system.
But do all those avenues of potential appeal need to be exhausted before there is a decision made about whether and when he's extradited?
Unfortunately, fortunately for him, because I'm sure he wants to stay out of the American clutches for as long as possible, but there's no immediate end in sight. So you have to exhaust all avenues of appeal.
Right.
And until he's actually on the plane, the wheels are up and the plane is in the air, then you can't say extradition has happened.
So how long will it take, do you think, before all those avenues are exhausted?
I think we could be here for another 6 months, right, possibly, because of this argument about whether he's allowed to cross appeal has some interesting technicalities to it. Ironically, that could end up at the Supreme Court on the technical point, as opposed to any of the substantive and more interesting arguments. And the whole thing, as I said, could take at least another 6 months.
And at that point, could you then move quite swiftly to extradition? And who makes that decision?
Well, once his extradition is finally ordered and all appeals are exhausted, the US Marshals will be in the air. They can land, you know, the next day, 48 hours later, they make the practical arrangements with the Home Office and the National Crime Agency. Julian Assange is never going to get out of Belmarsh, so they will just take him to the aeroplane and hand him over. So,
but it's an American decision about whether he's then extradited.
It's an American decision whether to then act on the order that has been made by the British court.
Right,
but I can't see them changing their minds.
So 6 months' time, you predict that those air marshals will be on their way and he'll be on his way?
It could be less. But I do expect at the end of this process that he will be extradited. But I've been wrong about lots of things. But that's my guess.
And have you got any up-to-date figures on how much all of this has cost the British state?
I don't. I mean, obviously, I know the cost of guarding the Ecuadorian embassy was extremely high.
Millions.
The cost of the legal proceedings is going to be a fraction of the cost of the police personnel costs incurred for those 5-6 years that he was in the embassy.
Nick Vamos, former head of extradition at the CPS, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.